Well, we've been looking this year, our whole theme has been impact. And who's enjoyed the whole series on obstacles are meant to be overcome? I listened to Shane's message. Thank you, Shane, for sharing your heart. And just what a great guy. Loyal servant of the house. And he leaves in a few weeks' time to sort out his business, but we're believing that he's coming back home. Oh, there you are. There. And so that's going to be good too. So let's just have a little review here. How can Jesus impact me greater? How can we impact others? And how can we impact our community? And so I want to talk today about how Jesus can impact us greater and how it actually affects others and our community through our giving. Went really quiet just then. See, I'm starting a series this week entitled Your Best Life. See, we can have a mediocre life. We can have an average life. We can have a pretty mundane life, a pretty boring life, or we can have our best life. And so, wherever we are around the world, give me a thumbs up. It's our best life in Christ. Amen? It's our best life. Danielle, it's our best life. Robert, it's our best life. Forpa, or whatever your proper name is, I can't, in African, it's your best life, right? It's our best life here, Glamour. Blammer. Over here, it's new people. It's our best life. Our best life is in Christ. Who knows that this Word of God is going to help us have our best life? There are principles in here, and we've been talking about some of them, and there's a principle today that I'm going to speak about that will actually help you have your best life financially. I didn't get quite as many amens on that one. Because this is personal, right? Our money's personal. It's hard not to be. But I want to give you a few little keys this morning from the Bible. So no egg throwing or apples or anything else this morning, all right? So our best life is serving in His house in some capacity. Who would agree? Come on. Our best life is being involved in seeing God's kingdom expand through C3 Wellard. C3 Fremantle's growing. Jonathan and Sheila, how haven't they just risen up the last number of months? Our best life comes from our positive nature. Turn to your neighbour and say, were you positive this week? See, we can be one of two things. We can be negative or we can be positive. One of them's bound to make you glum. I'd rather be joyful than glum. Amen. So even when we're going through terrible situations, we can have joy in our spirit. Christ is able to do that for us. Turn to your neighbour and say, smile. Oh, I saw it. Good on you guys. All right. For those of you who know what's happening, especially if you're on the front row, there's a rat somewhere died. It's okay. We're going to be all right. We'll manage. If you think it's the person next to you that smells, it's the rat. All right? And so so just a little story to start this morning, because I want to talk this morning. The title of my message is God's Test. God's Test. Who's ready to be tested by God? No one likes to be tested. But this is the only test that God has in His Bible for us. The only written test in this area of our lives. So a little story to start, because I've been a pastor now for almost 20 years. I look so young, don't I? A few years ago, a mature Christian actually came to me about his family's financial situation. And he said to me, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to tithe. I've got this to pay. I've got that to buy. I never have enough money to pay my tithe. Oh dear, I said, that's sad. I don't think I can help you. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, you can't afford to tithe until you tithe. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you've got to do it the right way around. He said, what do you mean? And I said, you've got to give God his part first and then see what God does. And I said, how about you and me? Because I was pretty close to this gentleman. And this is a number of years ago. And I said, why don't we sit down and, like, after the first month, you come and tell me how it's going, if you're prepared to actually just put God to the test in this way and put your tithe, your tenth of your income first rather than if you've got enough left at the end. He thought about that for quite a number of weeks. Fair enough, too. And he came back to me and says, okay, Nigel, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to do what you ask. I says, no, it's not what I ask, it's what God asks. So it's good to be accountable to one another. We all have struggles in different areas of our lives. So this is just like every other area of our life. This, like, some people have struggle with anger issues or get mad when they shouldn't. I'm one of them. You know, we all have areas we're overcoming. So if you're overcoming in this area today or you want to get better in this area, great. If you're not doing it, you're not a bad person. All right, we'll go on. We'll keep going. Anyway, he said, okay. And he came back to me after the first month of doing it the right way, of putting God's tenth first. And he seemed surprised. And after 3 months, he was starting to get that his family was going to be okay. After 6 months, he was so happy with his new plan that he actually looked at me and said, I don't know why I didn't do this years ago. It's a principle in the Bible that God wants to bring blessing and order on your life and finances. Bring the full tithe. Say it with me. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. This is the next. Thanks, Conrad. You're a mighty man. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there might be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. Now, I'm using the English Standard Version because it talks about the test. Some versions say try me, but I'm talking about the test, and we'll talk about this as we go along. Thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you. Who'd like God to open the windows of heaven on their finances? Anybody? For you, and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Until there is what? What test? The test is this. To whom are you going to thank for your income? You take that test by what you do with the first 10% of your income. Whom are you going to thank? Whom are you going to worship for your income? Some people thank Visa. Some people thank their mortgage. Some people thank the pub. Some people thank their family. The only problem is that your family does not have the power to bless your finances. Your bank certainly won't bless your finances. It is under the spirit of this world, and I'm going to talk about that next week. God blesses your finances. Turn to your neighbor and say, God blesses your finances. when we get the principle right in our lives, it will be our best life in this area. There is no doubt about it. Malachi 3:6 starts, this passage starts, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." For I am the Lord and what? I do not change. We're just coming to that next one. Thanks. We get there, Conrad. So God is speaking to his people, the God who has not changed. And yet, in Malachi 3:7, which is now up there, "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." So they were struggling in this area. The early church and the prophet Malachi came to them and said, "You've got to get this area right in your life." It's a biblical pattern throughout Scripture. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, and I'll remind you again, that an ordinance is a principle of ordinary behavior. An ordinance is a principle of ordinary behavior. Say it with me. An ordinance is a principle of ordinary behavior. You have gone away from a principle of ordinary behavior, Malachi is saying to the church. And like my friend, they said, "What do you mean?" I would like you to notice what God says next. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, what do you mean?" Just so we're clear, these are the words written in the Bible by God. The church has not made them up over the years. "Will a man rob God?" Malachi 3:8. "You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." The God who can't change is saying to his people that tithing is an ordinary pattern of behavior for God's children to thank him for their income. An ordinary principle of behavior. Because you have gone away from my ordinary principles, you are under a curse now. What do you mean? I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus died for you on the cross and you have accepted him as your savior, does that mean that you can live any way that you like? If you steal, is there going to be a consequence? If you commit adultery, is there no consequence? If you commit an act of fraud, is there no consequence? A curse is a consequence. So what if you steal from God? The Lord owns it all. However, he gives us stewardship over it. What do you mean? I have set apart the tithe for the house of God, so if you keep it, you are stealing it. After God did an amazing miracle with the people of Jericho, remember the miracle? Most people that know this story, even if they don't have very much Bible belief or Christians at all. Incredible story. They got into the promised land, and their first city that they were going to take was rather a large one, and it was well fortified. And it's the first. What are we talking about here? It's a principle of the first. And so the first city, God actually asked that all the people, "Now look, all the stuff and all the goods and all the gold and everything that's in the temple, That's reserved for me on the first one. All the other cities that I'm going to allow you to progress through and move into the promised land, they're yours, but the first is mine. And so they walked around the city seven times, and on the seventh time, you know the story, and they shouted and they blew their horns and the walls fell down. Who thinks that's a mighty victory of the Lord's? Only God can do that, right? Only God has the amazing power to break through in areas that we could never do. And then on the second city, it was the city of Ai. It was a relatively small city compared to what they'd already overcome. But they couldn't actually break through. There was an issue. And it came to Joshua's attention that one of his men had actually stolen some of the goods from the first city. And he'd buried them under the ground. Joshua didn't realize. The Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 7:10, Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen the things that I commanded to be set apart for me. God's ordinary principle of behavior is that we tithe together. We tithe together. And that brings great blessing on his house and for his people and for their future. Achan had already sinned, and then he lied because he tried to cover it up. You know, one sin always leads to another. I'm going to keep moving along. I love this. Joshua appropriately named the place where they were defeated as a valley of trouble. There is going to be trouble, consequences for your life, and those consequences, whether you realize it or not, will have an effect on someone else. The choice you make will definitely have an effect on your children, positively or negatively, in this respect. God's desire is that his people follow his principles of ordinary behavior. It's God's test. Tithing tests our hearts. Rich, would you mind just closing the door for me? We choose whether to voluntarily place ourselves under God's blessing or curse. The Hebrew word for tithe means tenth part. Why did God choose a percentage? Good question. A tenth, as they use in the Old Testament, and we'll see it in the New Testament as we go along here. Why did God choose a percentage? Well, firstly, it's fair to everyone. Whether you make $10,000 a year or $100,000 a year or $1 million a year, it's still the same amount. God uses the number 10 in the Bible as a number for testing. What did I just say? God uses a number? 4? Okay, so we're going to have a little quiz. You ready? How many plagues were there in Egypt? Shout it out. There's no tricks here. 10. How many times did God test Pharaoh's heart? Come on, let's have some voices here. How many commandments are there? All right, you all got that one. Fantastic. There's no trickery, even if you don't know the answer, all right? Well, you never know. Anyway, how many times were Jacob's wages changed? How many times was Daniel tested? How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? 10. How many virgins were tested in Matthew? 10. How many days of testing mentioned in the book of Revelation? 10. How many disciples were there? Oh, you're too good. I was trying to test you. You're sneaky, you lot. And so tithing is a test. It's a two-way test. It is the only place in Scripture where God says, you can test me. And some versions of the Bible, like I was saying, use the word try. Try me in this. It's a little like testing to see whether your wife's diamond ring is pure or not. Some of you probably already know that, but it adds to that. But you can either see right through it or it's solid. And God is saying, come on, try me. You will never be able to see right through me. God is saying, I want to test you. You to test me to see that I am pure. I want to open the windows of heaven for you. I want to bless you. I want to rebuke the devourer. But it depends on what you do with what I have given you. God can bless your 90% or curse your 10%. God opens an area of faith in our lives when we give 10%. He curses our 100%, actually. And so one of the most common arguments I've heard from well-meaning Christians on this subject is that tithing is under the law. And we are no longer under the law, and Jesus has set us free. Yes, he has. Tithing happened before the law, after the law, and even Jesus promoted it. And just as a matter of interest, can you commit adultery with no consequence because it's under the law? Can you murder and it's all forgiven because it's under the law? Jonathan, can I have your wallet?
Not much in there.
There's a bit of faith. Oh. Is that all you got? Yeah. You got lots of money? You got lots of money?
No.
Isn't it great having the Tobins in church this morning? Always friends of C3 Fremantle. If there's any other pastors visiting with us or if you're from overseas, God bless you this morning. Thanks, mate. Thou shalt not steal is under the law. So there's no consequence. But I'm not under the law. I'm going to give it back. But do you see what I'm saying this morning? We're saved by grace. It does not mean we can do what we like. God has given us his word and ordinary principles of behavior that help us to have our best life. Raise your hand and say, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. See, my second point is tithing is biblical. You're not a bad person here today if you don't tithe. But I have to tell you today that many years ago, when Dom Sinek, where is he? He's hiding. Dom and DR. When Dom Sinek, one of our original board members, when we were a small church, we didn't have a facility, and he looked at me one day and we were having a meeting and he said, Nigel, we need to pay you a couple of days a week. We're not sure if we can afford this, but we need to do it. And the reason was because he was so sick of my bad messages he wanted me to prepare for so that they would get better. That was a little joke. And it was true, actually. And there's a reason for that. You know what happened? Do you know what happened? The moment that the board started to pay me, you know what happened? New people started coming to the church. Because as soon as you start to focus on what God loves, new things start to happen. Blessing starts, because what's God interested in? Is he interested in you? Let's start at the basics. Is he interested in you? Do you think he's interested in other people that aren't here yet? Yes. And so when we get this principle right in our lives, it opens the windows of heaven over his house. Who'd like to see more people in his house being blessed? And so our giving has an effect. I remember, it came to me because my daughter's over in America and she's with Katie at the moment. Who remembers Katie and Chad? And Katie and Chad, it was directly after that moment when they decided to, because this is at the old building, they actually recommitted their lives to Christ. It was because of, I can almost remember the moment when they said, we're going to start paying, use some funds to help with the ministry, that God started to bring new salvations into the house of God. See, the tithe belongs to God. And God's desire to bless those things which he loves. Do you think he loves you? Do you think he loves his church? And he loves you as part of his church. And so who's the head of the church? Not the Pope. Not the saints. Not you and I. Jesus. And when we show our interest toward loving God, the head of the church, through our tithe, he brings blessing onto our lives as part of his bride. The Bible talks about the tithe in this manner from beginning to end. Now I'm going to switch to the Bible program, Conrad. Genesis 14. Melchizedek, king of Salem, which means peace, brought out bread and wine. So we can see here that communion was in the Old Testament too. And Abraham gave him a tithe of all. This is before the law. Many scholars agree that Melchizedek is actually Christ. Abraham gives 10% to Christ 500 years before the law. It's a principle of ordinary behavior. In Genesis 28, 22, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all of it that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Who are we talking about here? Jacob. 100 years before the law, Jacob vows to give God how much? 10%. In Leviticus 27, 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. The tithe is set apart for the... The tithe is set apart for the Lord. The tithe is set apart for the Lord. In Deuteronomy 26, I know I'm going to use a lot of scripture this morning. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Who's looking forward to an inheritance? And you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. We take our tithe to the place he abides, his church. If Jesus himself said you ought to tithe, would you tithe? Some of you aren't sure. It's in red. Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe to you. I love this language. Just shows me he's a real man, this guy. Jesus didn't mess about. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Jesus said, you guys not only give a tithe of your first fruits, but of your spices too. Aren't you good little boys? But they neglected to do the other things that helped build relationships with God and man. You really need to work on your relationship building. You're really not to think that you know better than me. Your attitudes toward others and your faith need some work, but don't leave the other thing undone. whichever way you look at this verse, don't leave the other thing undone. And so now we have Old Testament, Jesus, and even Hebrews talks about this. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there in heaven he receives them, of whom it is witnessed he lives. Man, that makes me tithe because I know Jesus gets my tithe. Wow. Jesus receives my tithes. That should make us want to tithe. So tithing is a test. Tithing is biblical. And number three, tithing is living the blessed life. This is back to our PowerPoints. Tithing is living the blessed life. I want to say this again. You're not a terrible person if you do not tithe. We're saved by grace through faith. We're all at different levels in different areas of our lives. And so what I struggle with, like I've said before, you may not struggle with. But at the same time, like every week when I speak the word of God, I do hope that Scripture can bring conviction to our lives. So what I struggle with, you may not. And so if you're struggling this morning with this area, it's okay. God loves you. He cares for you, and his desire, like all the other areas of your life, is to help you have your best life. We should be progressing towards Jesus. And I know that many pastors don't even talk about this subject because it's too hard. But is it biblical? I think we've worked that out. In 2 Chronicles 31:4, moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. Hezekiah is a king of Israel and Judah, and he brought right reforms. You may have heard a few weeks ago when I talked about this in a tithe talk that I gave. The people were doing all the way around the wrong way. In fact, they were even worshipping idols and supplying funds for that. Who knows that we've got our own idols? Come on. Who knows we've got our own stuff that we just can't do without? No, none of you, only me. We all have little things that we love. And God's not saying you can't have them. But he's saying, please do the first thing first. You know it's first for a reason, because it's first. I don't know how else to explain it. It's first. And so Hezekiah restored temple worship. He restored the temple itself, which had been abandoned. How sad. We don't want to abandon the house of God. How do you not abandon the house of God? This principle. He sanctified the first day, Hezekiah, as a day to come and worship. And one of the last reforms he made was to get all the people of Israel and Judah to bring their tithe into God's house. So he's gone to the priest. And the priest says, I'm going to show you all the piles, because that's how they did it back in those days. They piled up all the goods, because it wasn't money, it was all their goods. And so they had all. He walked around with the priest, and there was piles and piles and piles. And he piles it, and everywhere he went, there was this piles. And he says, this is all for the house of God. And Hezekiah genuinely looked at the priest and says, are the people doing okay? Are my people all right? And the priest looks at Hezekiah and says, this is only the 10%. You should see their 90. Yeah. Why do we pay the tithe? Let me just give you a few practical reasons. Someone is paying for this house. Someone is paying for the utilities. Someone is paying for the staff salaries. Someone is paying for the youth stuff. Someone is paying for the kids' stuff. Someone is paying for it all. Would any of you go down to a local restaurant in Fremantle, eat a meal, and walk out without paying for it? Don't answer that question. You wouldn't, would you? Would any of you do that? Respectfully, some Christians do that every week. Go to church, eat a meal, skip out. You're missing out on what God can do in your life. And many of our members are great givers. I am proud of you. You know, we are known as one of the most generous churches. I'm not doing this for to build up our bank accounts. I'm doing this because it's a blessing that God wants to put on your life. And many pastors over the years have asked my advice in this area and in our giving. And I have been proud to talk about the generosity of this house. It's a pleasure talking you guys up. You know who you are. And for these people today, through thick and thin over the years, I thank you for your faithfulness to God. I thank you. But really, you already know that, and it's not me. You do it because you know that God is faithful. And I'm not saying what I'm saying today because I need the money. But I do hope that the Word of God challenges and convicts you, like I do every week. Why? Here's some really good reasons why. This principle will help your marriage. Come on. Why? Because you're putting God first. This principle will help your marriage. It will help your children. I was at the doctor the other day, and he says, "Is it genetic?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "The only thing I know that's genetic is I've got to get my skin checked all the time because that's what affected my father." You know, we can have spiritual geneticism as well. So let's make sure we've got the right spiritual DNA on our lives because it affects our children and our children's children. And so it will help your children. It'll help your grandchildren. And it will take you from ordinary to different. And I'd rather be different. I'd rather go from fear to fearless in this area of my life. And Azariah, the chief priest, this is 2 Chronicles 31:10. From the house of Zadok answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring their offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance." What was it? A great abundance. The king is genuinely asking, or, you know, are the people okay? The priest just can't stop him enough and say, "We're doing really, really well." How God blesses. It's only the 10%. You know, I've been in ministry for almost 20 years, like I was saying. And tithers consistently say to me, "We are so blessed." Non-tithers say, "I can't afford it. I can't afford to tithe." That's their testimony. They are not bad people, just I can't help them. What do you mean? You can't afford to tithe until? You can't afford to tithe until? Tithing is what breaks the curse and rebukes the devourer. Stand to our feet this morning. "Test me in this," says the Lord Almighty. Come on, let's just bow our heads for a moment. And maybe this is an area that you've been struggling in. Maybe it's an area you've skipped out on. It's okay. God loves you. But I also, like every other week, would love you to pray for you if this is an area you'd like help with. An area that you may just want to grow in. An area that you can give to God and say, help me in this. Help me to release my life into your hands. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray blessing on every person. That's what your word says. And I thank you, Lord, that we have authority and power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when we bring our tithe into God's house. Our finances, I thank you, Lord, for every person that's a tither here today and gives generously to God. I'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we do have dominion as we follow your principles in the Word of God. And we believe it and we live for it. And Father, we don't give to get, as it were, Lord. We give to worship you first. And I thank you, Lord, that as we worship you in this area of our lives, you bring order into this area of our life. And we pray that blessing onto every person in the mighty name of Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. As Malachi puts it, Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts. Why is that? Because he's saying that I am the Lord. I am Lord. Thank you, God. People said,